Hi, this is Ross Parker, Dean of the School of Christian Studies here at Charleston Southern University. Welcome to another Church and Gospel podcast. Here at Church and Gospel, we're interested in showing how the gospel affects everything we do as Christians. And in our podcast, we've been talking about theology, but theology really broadly construed to understand the idea that the truth about who God is and what He has done applies to all aspects of our lives. And so that's what we try to do in these podcasts. Now, in this week's podcast, we're going to be talking about the topic of baptism. Baptism is a topic that pretty clearly connects with the Christian worldview and Christianity. And for this conversation, I'm going to be talking to my good friend and colleague here in the School of Christian Studies, Jonathan Watson. Jonathan, it's good to have you with us.
It's good to be here, Ross. Thanks for having me.
Well, Jonathan does a number of things for us here in the School of Christian Studies. He teaches a number of classes, but his area of expertise is systematic theology. He also serves as the director of the graduate program for the School of Christian Studies. And he has thought a lot about and written on the topic of baptism, so he's a good conversation partner for me to have this morning. So I'm going to try to bring out some topics having to do with baptism. We're not going to be able to talk about everything today, but maybe we can start just with the question of, is baptism important?
No, I think it's pretty important. I guess exhibit A would be the Great Commission, you know, Jesus having completed his work on earth and commissioning his disciples, says to them, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so I think it's right there at the heart of discipleship and disciple making that we lead people to be baptized and to declare their faith in Christ in that way.
Well, yeah, if it's coming there in the Great Commission, I think we should pay attention to it. I think that's a good way to think about this. Now, we should say that we're having this conversation as convictional Baptists.
That's right.
And so maybe we want to be clear on what it is that Baptists affirm, or maybe just say a bit about believer's baptism.
Sure, sure. Well, as a believer, a believer's Baptist, I would affirm, and I know you affirm as well, the notion that, and the pattern that we see in the New Testament, that it seems that the gospel goes forward, people hear and respond to that gospel in faith and repentance, and then they respond and make that faith and repentance visible through baptism. This seems to be the pattern that's going on in places like the Book of Acts. Even Jesus's Great Commission seems to presuppose the fact that that those who are being discipled can respond to that discipleship. You know, he goes on after saying, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. He tells them to teach them to observe everything that He's commanded them. So, as a credo Baptist, someone who affirms believer's baptism, we see this pattern, and that's where we're having this conversation. I think it's helpful to put that out there.
Yeah. Now, say a bit more about that credo Baptist.
Yeah, the phrase credo, Latin phrase meaning I believe, and so credo Baptist is someone that baptizes those who can say, I believe in the gospel.
Okay, yeah. So that is, I think, the pattern we see there in the New Testament. And so, like I said, we're both convictional Baptists and affirm believers' baptism. With that said, in the context of believers' baptism, discussions of baptism, oftentimes it seems that what we emphasize is what baptism is not. Have you had that experience?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I've been in a number of baptismal services in which it seemed that was the primary thing we were trying to communicate through the service, that we just wanted to make sure everyone understood what we were not doing that day. And to that point, I would like to say that I think it is important that we're clear on that issue. As a credo Baptist, as a believer's Baptist adherent, I would affirm that it does not seem to me that the New Testament is telling us that baptism saves us. And you know, again, exhibit A for such a point like that would be the thief on the cross. The thief on the cross is not baptized, yet Jesus responds to his request that Jesus would remember him. He says, "You will today, I tell you, you will be with me in paradise." So baptism isn't what saves us, and that's an important point to make, but we don't want to stop there, and we certainly, we want to say more.
Right. So I think we do need to clarify, but if we're just defining our doctrines and what they aren't, we're not giving a full picture of what they are. So if you had a short time to say sure. what baptism is, sure. Where would you want to go?
Yeah, well, I think we can just think about the actions that are going on here and kind of get a good sense of what baptism is, what it's symbolizing, what its meaning is. And so oftentimes when I'm talking to my classes, I might ask that, you know, I kind of pose it out there to say, is what is happening in baptism merely a presentation of what happened to Jesus? Is this merely just us acting out the events of Jesus's life? And the answer to that question is, well, in one sense it is, in another sense it's not, because you have a person that is involved in this act. So in other words, it's not just a sign of what happened to Jesus. This is a participatory sign. That is, you have a participant who is identifying with Jesus through this sign. And so the person is going to undergo being lowered into the water and hopefully raised back out of the water to show that that person has been united in faith with Christ. And so there's a few things that I typically try to point out about what baptism is symbolizing for us. First of all, we do have the death of Christ put on display. In theological terms, we commonly talk about the atonement of Christ is put on display through this ordinance of Christ, this symbolic act that He has ordained and commanded us to give to one another. And so what we have this participatory sign, but this sign is showing us the content of that good news, the content of that gospel. We do see Jesus's death and burial and resurrection, right? And so being lowered into the water, being raised out of the water again, hopefully, we see Jesus's death, burial, and resurrection. So the gospel is put on display, we also see the response, because again, there is a person who is involved in this, and that person is expressing a confidence, a hope, a faith, a trust in this Jesus who has died for them, been buried, and raised again. And so the response there to Christ is evident. We see also, I think, the cost of discipleship, the cost of following Christ. It's as though we are as good as dead from the moment we take up our cross and follow after Christ. And so I think baptism puts on display the fact that we are signaling to the world that we're going to follow after Christ. We're going to follow Him and walk in the steps that He walked, willing to suffer even unto death, be obedient even unto death. And this is something that we could be, that we can recognize as happening in identifying with Jesus in His death. And then another thing that I point out that is on display, and we can say positively about what baptism is symbolizing, is our hope. Our hope is clearly put on display. The blessing of not only hope in a resurrection to come, although that's no small thing. It seems that the New Testament puts and loads all of our hope in one sense there. But as Jesus says, "I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly," in John 10. And Paul's going to say in Romans 6 that we've been raised to walk in newness of life. And so the hope that we have affects not just a day far off, distant in the future, but it affects, you know, now.
Wow. So in this act of baptism, we're accomplishing a lot of things. God in his providence, Christ in his instruction, has given us an ordinance that really does a lot of things. So it's proclaiming the gospel. It's proclaiming our response to that gospel. It's proclaiming the fact that we are in Christ, but also that we are living in newness of life and expressing that hope. So there is a lot of doctrinal importance with what goes on in baptism.
Absolutely. So, I mean, we can say it in one sense that we have here a visible presentation of the gospel. And I do think the best practices of baptism will be those that explain the significance of this. We don't, again, it's not magically, you know, it doesn't have some magical quality about it that being lowered into water is necessarily doing anything for us. We need to attach to it the meaning that the scriptures attach to it, and set that sign in the broader context of the gospel. So I think it's I think there's a lot of positive content there for us to, and we want to not miss that opportunity, whether it be for the sake of the one who's undergoing the sign, or all of those that are there that are observing and witnessing this sign, that we would want to make sure the gospel is put clearly on display, and we help everyone appreciate, even in small measure, the depth of it. We really can't exhaust the depth of the gospel, but we can certainly point people to see it.
Well, that's great how baptism, how this ordinance that Christ has given to us, enables us to do all of those things.
Yeah.
Now, a while back, it was back in September of last year, you wrote an article for us at Church and Gospel that was on a specific aspect of baptism that we may not even think much about, but I thought it was an interesting way to get at a biblical truth. And you entitled that article, Do You Remember Your Baptism?
Yeah.
And so maybe kind of to close out our conversation, I'd love for you to unpack what you were getting at with that question.
Well, there's a main point and there's a sub point. The sub point is that that sometimes folks have been baptized so early they don't necessarily remember their baptism. So there's that. I do think that we should be careful in the way we administer baptism and do it in ways that would help people actually be able to remember this sign, especially when it is. It is loaded with such significance in terms of a personal expression of faith, but then there's the more the bigger point that I was trying to make, which was simply that we oftentimes think of baptism in the sense of we get caught up in the idea that it is a one-time action. It's something we do. It's symbolic. It's on the front end of our walk with Christ, and those are all right things in one sense, but we see something else going on in the New Testament, that that baptism isn't just something that you do and then forget about it, that it's actually got this kind of ongoing function in the life and in the mind of a believer. In the article, I pointed out the fact, just looking specifically at Romans chapter 6 and how Paul deals with baptism there, that after having traced all the goodness of God's grace in the first five chapters, he rightly recognizes that those hearing that message might think, oh, well, I have grace, so I can now live however I want to live. I got kind of a get-out-of-jail-free card with God. And Paul says, you know, what shall we say then? Should we sin so that grace may abound? By no means. And then to correct this kind of false thinking, he could have gone anywhere he wanted to, but I think it's important to recognize he goes to baptism to kind of correct that. He is going to say to us there in Romans 6, he goes on to say, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death. Therefore, we've been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. And then he's going to go on in verse 11 and conclude that whole section and say, consider yourselves therefore dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. So to the one that might think about God's grace as a kind of get out of jail free card, he says, if you need some correction on that kind of false thinking, remember your baptism.
Huh.
Yeah. He's right. Not talking to those that are looking towards baptism so much as he's talking to those that have been baptized. Now, his teaching here applies to all groups, but it is interesting to note he's talking to those that he's presupposing have been baptized, and he's helping them think rightly about their life in Christ by reminding them of their baptism.
So when we look back at that act of baptism, that public profession, that obedience to the command of Christ that unites us to his church and is the beginning of our life together with the believers in the church, we don't just do that to on the front end. I liked how you put that. Mm-hmm. But it is on the front end.
Absolutely.
And yet it continues to shape the way, or it ought to continue to shape the way we think about our daily walk with Christ, that we can remind ourselves of what we did when we put our faith and trust in Christ, when we were saved, when we were adopted into God's family. All of that is something that we're reminded of in our baptism, but especially the aspect of our death to sin and our new life in Christ is visibly symbolized in that act of baptism.
That's right. So Paul's phrasing throughout his letters where he talks about being in Christ, and he attaches so much meaning to that. We talk about that. We talk about union with Christ. That's the kind of bigger theological reference or term for that. That's a fairly abstract concept for us. We're left sometimes, I don't know, I remember picking up on this phrase when I was younger and thinking, what in the world does it mean to be in Christ? And so, this insight, recognizing that actually baptism is a concrete, visible portrayal of my union with Christ. Now, it doesn't exhaust that idea at all, but it does help my feeble mind connect that idea to something that I can see and can think about. Okay, I participated with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection through faith, and that was made visible to me in baptism. Baptism didn't do it, but baptism is a sign of this otherwise invisible reality that has so much meaning and significance. So a lot of, I guess, pastoral help is there for us as we try to grapple with what is my identity in Christ, what is life in Christ, what are the blessings I find through that union with him. It's really, really helpful for us to think about and be reminded of.
Well, that's what we want to do in these podcasts. We want to think about doctrine. We want to think about theology in a way that brings out the truth that doctrine, that theology, is connected with how we live our lives in obedience to Christ and his word. Amen. Doctrine is not just something we study, but it's something that we live out. Mm-hmm. And there's so much more we could say here. I was thinking even in what I was talking about, how I connected baptism with entry into the local church. Absolutely. And so there are lots more topics here we could say. Possible. But I think that we've got some good things to think about out of this conversation about the importance of baptism, how we do want to clarify what baptism is not, but we don't want to just stop there.
That's right.
And you've given us some categories and some points to frame the way we positively think about our baptism, not just what happens when we are baptized, but that's right, how we think about our baptism even today.
Yeah.
And so I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us, and thank you, listeners, for being with us today. We'll be back next week with another edition of the Church and Gospel Podcast.